You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, UW System Campus is hosting hoping to be the first in the state to offer a testing facility for farmers to test hemp and cannabis plants and products. We'll hear more about the university's plan. Right now, it's a good day to be a baseball fan in Wisconsin. Not only did the Milwaukee Brewers kick off their 2019 regular season at Miller Park, but they came out with a 5-4 victory over division rivals, the St. Louis Cardinals. After losing the Los Angeles Dodgers in Game 7 of the National League Championship Series last fall, there's a lot of reason to be optimistic about the Crew's chances of making a deep playoff run again, but there are some red flags out there, too. J.R. Radcliffe is a sports reporter with the Milwaukee Journal-Sentinel. He talked with Central Time producer Bill Martins.
Let's talk about why expectations are high. Now, perhaps one of the reasons is because pretty much everybody on last year's 102-win team is back. So for those who only follow the Brewers casually, who are some of those key players?
You probably need to start with the MVP, the reigning National League MVP out in the outfield, that being Christian Yelich. I mean, he had just a ridiculous, particularly the second half of the season last year, his numbers were completely off the charts. And by the end of the year, it was pretty clear that he was the MVP, and he won the award in a landslide. He got every first-place vote but one. And it was his first year with the Brewers. They acquired him in the offseason in a pretty big, high-profile trade with the Florida Marlins, or Miami Marlins now, I guess. And it worked out as well as it possibly could have. So he's the face of the franchise at this point. But the outfield in general is a big plus for them. They've got Lorenzo Cain, who was a free agent signing, a guy who came up with the Brewers and then won a World Series with the Kansas City Royals and then came back on a free agent contract last year. He's a tremendous defensive player, but also their leadoff hitter and a very key part of the offense as well. Probably their second most valuable guy. And then the guy people have known for years, Ryan Braun, who isn't anymore one of their top players, but still a very dangerous hitter, solid defender, not solid, unspectacular defender, and a very dangerous hitter who hit into a lot of bad luck last year and made his numbers maybe look not quite as good as they have been in the past. But those are some of the faces on offense. And then the bullpen was a huge plus for them last year. They're a little banged up coming into this year, but the guy at the front is Josh Hader, left-handed reliever, who was kind of a revolutionary last year and is being regarded now as possibly the best relief pitcher in baseball and a guy who's going to be used in a variety of ways.
And we'll talk more about those guys in a little bit, but I want to go back to Yelich for a second. He had as you mentioned, the top, I think, batting average in the National League. He was third in home runs, second in runs driven in. You know, it's not really fair to expect him to do that all over again, of course. But on the other hand, there's no real reason why he couldn't put up some pretty fat stats again, right?
Right. I mean, he's in the prime of his career. He's not, he's still in his mid-20s. He's been tearing the cover off the ball in spring training. And it's not like you've seen any signs of decline. There'd be no reason to expect dramatic decline. The things he did last year, I mean, the second half of the season, we were looking at some numbers during the season last year, and they ranked up there with honestly some of the, like, top 20 all time.
They're like video game stats.
And the thing about Yelich that is a little surprising is he wasn't brought in as a power hitter, but yet he was, he hit a ton of home runs last year. And I don't know if that's something that you can really expect will be sustained. I mean, his swing isn't a power swing. And we saw just a dramatic uptick in that department last year. I'm not sure that's something that you'll see all the time, but there's no question that he's got a very special bat.
One new face on the team is Yasmani Grandal, who is widely accepted as one of the best all-around catchers in baseball. The Brewers signed him during the offseason. Not many people saw that one coming. What does he bring?
I mean, he is, like you said, all around. I mean, he is an offensive weapon. He hits very well at Miller Park. Anybody who saw the Brewers play the Dodgers, maybe not during the playoffs last year, he struggled mightily in the playoff series when the Dodgers faced the Brewers in the NLCS, both offensively and defensively. But his reputation over the course of time certainly made him the best catcher available on the free agent market last year. So for the Brewers to get him was surprising, especially because they only needed to sign him to a one-year contract. I mean, it's a lucrative contract, but the way that the market has been the last two off seasons, you've seen a lot of high-profile players wind up signing deals below what you would have expected, below, I guess, what you'd call market value, the established market value from previous years, and then for shorter amounts of time. So the Brewers kind of capitalized on an opportunity here where it seems like teams just haven't been as willing to jump in after guys like Yasmani Grandal, and they're able to get the best free agent catcher on the market at a position that, you know, could stand to get an upgrade. We all kind of fell in love with Eric Kratz and what he did last year in the playoffs. He was sort of a savvy veteran, kind of having his moment, came up with a couple big key hits. And Manny Pena has been there now for a couple of years. His third full year with the Brewers. He's been a quality catcher that nobody saw coming. But realistically, that was a position they could stand to get better at and to bring in Grandal the way that they did it. One thing that he's good at that we've become sort of more and more aware of in the last 5 years is pitch framing, the sort of art of getting calls for your pitchers, you know, getting as many strikes called as possible. That's a really big factor in how the Brewers build their pitching staff, and Grandal is as good as anybody at that art. So they really get somebody who helps them on both sides.
We're talking with J.R. Radcliffe. He's a sports reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We're getting a preview of the 2019 Brewers season. Perhaps the Brewers' greatest strength last year, as you mentioned earlier, was their bullpen. Now, manager Craig Counsell, he had a tendency to pull the starting pitcher after about the fifth inning and rely on that deep staff of relievers the rest of the way. But they're going to be starting the season without a couple of their most important guys. What's going on there?
Yeah, it's been a tough spring for the bullpen. Corey Knebel has a UCL injury. We're still sort of waiting to hear how severe that is. Knebel had an incredible postseason, and now it's unclear if the Brewers will have him at any point this season. I think best case scenario with him is to have him back by the middle of the year. And that hurts. That's a tough loss. Phenomenal right-handed pitcher out of the bullpen. And then Jeremy Jeffress, who was, the team didn't really have a typical closer, but he was probably the closest thing to that. He had a really good year last year as well. Just probably a career year at age 30. And he's not considered out for a lengthy period of time. It's just sort of some, I don't know, general soreness or whatever you want to call it, but they're being really delicate with him and making sure that, you know, whatever's bothering him doesn't become a long-term issue. So he is not going to start the season healthy. He'll be on the injured list probably, I would guess, until the later stages of April, maybe early May. I'm guessing Jeremy Jeffress will come back sooner. So those two guys with Josh Hader made this three-headed monster, and Craig Counsell referred to them as the electric dudes at one point, something that sort of caught on. Those three guys were essential to what the Brewers did in the playoffs last year and really what they did in the second half of the season. So they'll be without two-thirds of them. The one silver lining is that Josh Hader is the most important of the three, and he is the healthiest of the three. He's capable of going multiple innings. He was dominant, just an incredible volume of strikeouts last year to innings pitched. Many occasions where you'd see him strike out all three guys that he faced or more. I mean, he's a versatile weapon and the type of guy that has been was unhittable last year. MLB.com ranks him the number one reliever in baseball this year. So it is good that he's back. They're going to need some other guys to step up to fill the voids left by Jeffress and Knebel.
So given those injuries to Jeffress and Knebel, the Brewers are reportedly trying to sign Craig Kimbrell, who's one of the top closers in the game. Should the Brewers manage to bring him in, how important is his role going to be?
I mean, he would be a great addition. He's got a really lengthy track record of dominant success as a reliever. He's the type of guy that would sort of fill the void left by Corey Knebel or Jeffress, you know, having a right-hander with that capability. I don't know for sure if he will sign with anybody by opening day. You think that he would ultimately give in and sort of sign whatever deal is available to him. But having him would certainly bring a sort of renewed excitement about what the bullpen has. Because right now, as good as the bullpen was last year with those guys injured, it is now kind of the question mark of the team.
Care to make a bold prediction about how the Brewers are going to finish the season? Just wanted to get that in before we wrap up here.
I mean, the Brewers had everything. I think about this, and this is a silly way to think about it. It's not statistical analysis by any means, but like everything went right for the Brewers last year down the stretch. Now, they won 12 straight games, which hadn't happened since team streak in 1987. They didn't have any significant injuries outside of Jimmy Nelson, who was missing all last year. And they really kind of got every break imaginable. They won a couple close games against the Tigers at the end of the year, one-run games. I just don't know if you can replicate that good fortune. I think this year's team is better, but I also think the division is a lot better, too. St. Louis upgraded big time by adding Paul Goldschmidt. The Cincinnati Reds have gone all in on improving themselves from last year. The Cubs also won 95 games and probably didn't click on every cylinder that they thought they were going to click on. So those teams all being in the Brewers division, the Brewers will see those teams a lot this year. I would imagine the Brewers are somewhere in the neighborhood of a 90-win team. Typically, that's a playoff team. But as good as the division is, I don't know if that's a slam dunk. I think they're going to be clawing and fighting to get into the playoffs by the end of the season.
It's going to be fun. JR, thank you for your time today. Really appreciate it.
You bet. No problem. Enjoy the season. It'll be fun.
JR Radcliffe is a sports reporter with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He talked to Bill Martins about the Milwaukee Brewers 2019 season. Again, the Brewers beat the Cardinals 5-4 at Miller Park this afternoon on opening day. They meet again tomorrow night.